Those who were willing and able, and we celebrated a wonderful wedding of two very good friends of mine and family of yours, Liz and Andy, and it was a beautiful time of family and friends, and God showed up. I won't get into that story, you should have been there, but God showed up, amen. So today I would like to do our message from the book of John. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. And it's a familiar story, the story of Nicodemus. Very familiar story. So if you can, turn to your Bibles to John 3. And it reads as thus. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. And he came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. But what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to share your word and your message. Open our hearts and minds that we may receive more deeply, drink more fully from your cup of wisdom. Let the Spirit move in this place. Let us put down our walls, put down our thinking that we know, and just receive your Spirit. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of your grace so divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope. Let my will be lost in thine. In the wonderful, matchless name of Jesus, amen. I had to choose a title for today's sermon. It would be Celebrate Your Birthday. Celebrate your birthday. I'm a big birthday guy. I was born in August. Any August babies in the house? There you go, Dad, you're an August baby. September babies, since we're in September. Hey, all right, there you go. You're close, you're right there, August, September. But I love my birthday, right? My wife will tell you, I celebrate from August 1st to August 31st, right? I just take the whole month. I mean, why not? It's my month, so I'll take it. But as we get older, obviously, I can't necessarily celebrate like I used to. I have kids. I guess they come first, you know. I got to do things for them. I can't think about myself. But birthdays are special, right? When you have kids, the first birthday, right? You do all these plans for that first birthday for the little baby. You put the cake in front of them and let them just have a ball, and they make a mess and destroy everything. And that's not really for them, is it? It's for us, right? We're celebrating because we made it. We made it through that first year. And in our case, they made it through me in the first year. But we celebrate birthdays because it's the day we're born. Something special happened that day, right? The planets aligned a certain way. The heavens opened up. And here we came. A beautiful blessing in the arms of a mother. A birthday. And just in our physical birthday, we have a spiritual birthday. In the scripture, it talks about being born of the flesh, but also being born of the spirit. But we don't think about our spiritual birthday, right? We don't think about that moment where we were born again, that we not just accepted Christ, but that spirit came into our life and renewed us, started this process of transformation. We don't really talk about that. We don't really celebrate that. I mean, I can't necessarily pinpoint a day. I remember when I was baptized. It was out in a country church somewhere in Virginia, Douglasville, Virginia. Maybe. All right, Mom, maybe I'm not right or wrong, but Georgia. Wow. I'm not even close. Georgia. But what I do remember, I was 7 years old. And I remember it was outdoors, and when they put me in what was supposed to be like a hole in the ground with water in it, and they dumped me in, and I remember looking up, I opened my eyes, and I saw this little bug going across the water. And I just thought, please don't bring me up just yet. Let the bug go by so it doesn't go in my mouth or in my nose or... But that's about all I remember of baptism. But was that the moment? Was that the moment of my spiritual birth? It's not clear. But what we do know, is that when we accept Christ, when we believe that Christ died for our sins, we begin this new life. Something does happen within us. A transformation begins. And we become a new person. And so as we examine today what that means and we discuss this idea of our spiritual birthdays and how we can celebrate that birthday, I'm going to look at three ways. And the first is that we encounter the Spirit, right? We encounter the Spirit. And then we have to examine what God is doing. We encounter the Spirit, and then we examine what God is doing. And then from there, we accept this idea of our eternal self. We accept the idea of an eternal self. See, in the story, we find Nicodemus coming, looking for Jesus. And the Bible says he came at night. And a lot of times when pastors preach about this, it's always such a sacred and a secret thing. Right, like he's doing a coup, he's coming at night, and no one else knows that he's there. And why? Because he's part of the Jewish leadership, the Sanhedrin Council, the Pharisees. He's one of the know-it-alls. And he's a guy that openly, their group, condemns Jesus. They don't like Jesus. Why? Because he's against what they're about. They see him as a threat to their power structure. Right? They're the establishment. They're the ones that the people look to for advice, what to do, not just spiritual, but how to live your life. They're the lawmakers. They are the government for that group of people. And here comes this radical man claiming to be the Messiah, the one who has the answer to eternal life, to the kingdom of God, which is at hand, right here, today. So he's throwing their whole structure off balance. He's getting his own following of people who are now questioning the Sanhedrin, the leadership. But here comes Nicodemus saying, well, wait a minute. I need to find out a little more about this guy. I need to know something else about this Jesus. So he goes away from the rest of the group, and he comes at night. Now, it doesn't say whether he told the other guys he was going. We don't know if this was part of their bigger plan somehow, a conspiracy. The Bible doesn't say that. But it does say that they came at night in the darkness. So he couldn't be seen. That part we know. And the juxtaposition of that is that Christ is the light. And later in the verses, Jesus says that all this that is happening in the dark, all that happens in the darkness shall be brought to the light. So here comes this man in darkness, coming to the light. And he's asking him, he's telling him, here he comes. I can just see Nicodemus, haughty and arrogant, a Mr. Know-it-all, saying, yes, yes, Jesus, I know who you are. I know that you're the Savior. Because only someone touched by God could do the things that you're doing. And Jesus, in all the only way Jesus can, simply says to him, I'll tell you the truth. As if to say, I know that what you're saying is not the truth. I know you don't believe in who I am. But I'm going to tell you the truth. And here's the truth. That no one can see the kingdom of God until they are born again. And this throws him all out of whack. He's speaking a speak he doesn't understand. This guy who knows everything, who's well-read and educated, well-versed, and now he's telling him something that makes absolutely no sense, no rational sense. And that's where we find ourselves in the world today, right? We live in the information age. We have so much knowledge, so much access. What do we need of spiritual things? We can figure everything out for ourselves. Oh, Western civilization has advanced so far, right? Reason is our God now. We can figure things out. We have data. We have analytics. Everything is run by numbers. Getting information, right? Facebook, YouTube, anything you want to know is at your fingertips. So what is my concern with these mystical ideas, this spirituality? And so Jesus says things to us that we don't understand. You have to be born again to see the kingdom of God. Makes no sense, but he says it again. You have to be born again if you want to enter. And the text here says, born from above. Oh, I like that one. I like that phrase. Because not only does that mean that we're being born, that there's this new life coming, but it's telling you the source of your birth. It's a spiritual thing. It's something outside of this realm that we understand. And so as we encounter the Spirit, as Nicodemus came to try to encounter God, we have to put aside our reason. We have to put aside what we think we know and realize that the Spirit moves in a way counterintuitive to what we understand. Football Sunday, right? You used to be able to say that. Everybody go crazy. Looking at your clock, is it all right? Wrap it up, Pastor. Wrap it up. Football Sunday, right? And this week, all right, I know there's a lot of Steelers fans in here, so if I hurt your feelings, I'm sorry. But there's a player on the Steelers who decided not to show up for work this week, right? Because he felt like he wasn't valued as a player. But yet his teammates see it a little differently. right? They came out and said, well, he should be here because the bottom line is we got to win the game. That's why we show up. And he's saying, well, that might be, but I show up for another reason. And that reason is not being fulfilled to my liking. And so this is the value of the world, right? It's a value based on how others see you, based on what they're willing to accommodate you, to pay you for what you're doing. And that's how we operate. And that's what we understand. But the Spirit doesn't work like that. The Spirit doesn't care about how much you're getting paid. Spirit doesn't care about how popular you are, how many people like you, how many people laugh at your jokes, how many people are at your party, how many friends you have on Facebook. None of those things matter to the Spirit. The Spirit sees within, is looking at your heart, at your intentions. It knows who you are. No matter what the people around you may think, maybe you've fooled everybody and think in a certain way that you are. But the Spirit understands, and it's not judging you harshly. It's not saying, oh, you're a bad guy. You've made these things. I know how you talk about people. I know the things that you've done. No, it's the opposite. It's saying, I understand who you are. I understand you're flawed. You don't have to hide from me. You don't have to pretend with me. I accept you. I forgive you. We encounter the Spirit. And when we encounter, it causes us to examine who we really are. See, I don't know exactly, as I said, when my birthday was, my spiritual birthday. But I do remember instances where I had that encounter. And it allowed me to really examine who I was. One was when I was much younger. I think I was about 12 or so. And my father used to have a family life center. My father was a pastor growing up. And one of the things we would do is Christmas time, we would take toys to those who didn't have, right? Less fortunate. And people do that today, right? We collect toys and we give them out. But something a little different about this occasion is we would actually go to the people's houses on Christmas Eve night, sit down with them, open the toys, have food, family time. And that made it very unique because what struck me as a kid, even though I'm excited, I'm there, it's Christmas Eve, and the only thing I really want to do was get home so I can go to bed and wake up at probably 5-4 in the morning, run downstairs and see what I got. But here I am at someone else's home, and I'm watching them open these presents with such joy, the same joy I would have a few hours later. But the difference is they didn't expect this to happen. I knew my Christmas was coming, right? I knew the whole year that my Christmas was coming. I had my list, and I knew I better get what was on my list because I was a good boy. But these people didn't know. This happened out of God's grace. And so their excitement was different. Their thankfulness, their gratitude was different. And I remember so clearly how my heart was so moved, and I felt so happy in the moment, that we were able to share with them, that we were able to be there and share their Thanksgiving, their Christmas time. The Spirit grows within. And I feel like I celebrated my birthday. In those kind of moments, we celebrate our Spirit. When we give to others, when we find ourselves in situations where we're allowed to give back, to be that support system to someone, to be an advocate for someone, we're celebrating our birthday. just like a baby. When a baby's in the womb, it can't necessarily see. It has eyes, right? Baby's forming, has eyes, but it can't see. And even when we know we're going to have a baby, we don't get to see it, right? There's an anticipation that's coming. I know when I found out I was going to be a dad, and I woke up in the morning, and I looked on the nightstand, and there was a white stick. And I looked at it, and I went back to sleep. And then my wife called me later and said, "Hey, how you doing?" I was like, "Hey, I'm fine." "Well, did you see it?" "I see what?" "On the dresser. Did you see on the dresser?" Like, oh, yeah. Oh. Then it starts coming together. Oh, that technology. Miss the days where they just had to actually tell you, right? But I was going to be a dad. And that's exciting, right? But it's not like I'm going to be a dad, here's the baby. It doesn't work that way, right? There's a process that happens. There's months of going through visits and doctors and worry and concern and anticipation of this new life that's coming. And as the baby's forming its eyes and its mouth, it has no idea of the world it's getting ready to inhabit. All it knows is the security of its mother's womb as it grows and it's nourished and protected. And in the same way in our spiritual selves, although we have eyes, spiritually we rarely can see. We have mouths, but we don't really speak spiritual talk. We don't understand it. We haven't inhabited the spiritual world, even though we're developing in this physical. Our physical body is born, it's growing, and it's going to die. But our spiritual self is growing as well. It is developing. John Wesley puts it this way. He says, "As soon as you are born of God, there is a change in your particulars. The eyes of your understanding are opened. You are commanded to see the light that shines out of the darkness, that shines into your heart, so you see the glory of God. You begin to understand love in the face of Jesus Christ. Your ears are open, and now you are capable of hearing the inward voice of God saying, 'Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven.'" Oh, that's the life that we have in our spirit. A comfort of knowing that this physical body does not supersede what the spirit is doing. We can hold the spirit back through our physical self, but the spirit is growing as we nurture it through our belief and our love for Christ. The more we meditate on what God is doing, the more we put our mind into what God is doing, the more it feeds our spirit. See, the spirit we have isn't going to die. It's not going anywhere. We're stuck with it from here to eternity. And so how are we preparing our spirits for its eternal journey? Are we feeding it? It's protected in the womb like a mother. Are we nurturing it with the Bible? Are we going and meditating every day and praying and saying, "God, come into my life. Be more than I can understand you to be. Reveal yourself to me in ways I can't imagine. Show me your purpose for me in my life. I've done all that I can do. This physical self has ran its run. But my spiritual self is still fighting on. Still has a purpose and a mission. Help me to see what it is you have for me." And we see the eternal. We don't understand it. It doesn't always make sense, but it shows up. Oh, speaking of birthdays, this past August, I didn't celebrate every day. I didn't do that. But I did start a little tradition of trying to go to New York every year, right? I'm a big Yankees fan, full disclosure. So I go to the Yankees game. It's like my little thing to do. So this year I was going to go, and last year me and my brother-in-law went. Nick, there you go. That's Nick right there. I'm going to call Nick out. And this year we were going to go again. Going to New York for the birthday. Well, as God does, things started to fall apart, right? Bit by bit, things started to happen, and it just started feeling like I'm not supposed to go to New York. I could have gone. I could have made it happen. I could have just said, no, I'm going. This is what I said. But God was just causing things around me to happen. That it just seemed like I wasn't supposed to go. Have you ever had that? Where you've made plans, you're ready to do something, and it just seems like things keep happening, and God doesn't want this to happen. So I didn't go. Instead, I said, I wanted to go to D.C. for a day. My sister's up there. I have friends. So I decided I would just drive up by myself. Left my family behind. I know, bad daddy. And I went up to Maryland. I get into town, and I call a couple of my buddies. You know, hey, what's up? I'm in town. What's going on? And my friend Brian says, hey, I think you should call Al. You know, his mom was sick. You know, just give him a call. So I said, sure, I'll give him a call. So I call Al. I say, hey, Al, I heard your mom's not doing well. How is she? He says, oh, well, actually, she just passed. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, about 10 minutes ago. I'm in the hospital now. Now, Alan's an only child, and his father passed away about 10 years ago. So with this situation, he's it. He's just lost his mother, and their family unit now is just him. And everything that has to be done falls on his shoulders. And the weight of that just came over me. And I knew right then why I didn't go to New York. I knew that God had prepared me to be there for him in this moment. And I simply said to him, I was like, where are you? What hospital? And I went over there. And a lot of times when we're going to be with people who are grieving, we often think, you know, oh, I don't know what to say. Man, it's an awkward situation. I don't know what to do. But the truth is, just be there. In those situations, you don't have to say anything. Just having someone there that's familiar is a comfort. And so I was. And God used that whole situation. I was able to be there for him and pray for him and his wife, and with his mom, and the other sisters came, or his mom's sisters, the aunts came up, and I helped make the preparations, and God just worked through the whole situation so that I could be there for him. And I promise you, there's nothing else I would have rather done in that moment. I had another friend whose parents died, and I wasn't able to be there. But I was there for him. And that meant more to me than any kind of birthday celebration. That's how God works. That's how the Spirit works. We don't understand it. We can't pencil it in, schedule it, can't put it on the calendar that it's going to happen on this day or that. But God works and he moves. And if we make ourselves available, if we say, I'm here, Lord, use me, he will open the doors. My dad always says there's so much work to be done. If we just make ourselves available, Oh, what he can do with our lives. The Bible says the wind blows. We do not know where it comes or where it goes. And so it is with the Spirit. But our job is to surrender. To surrender to what God is doing in your life. So I implore you today, surrender to what God is doing in your life. Your spirit is growing. God is trying to use you to fulfill his purpose in your job, in your family, in your community. But we have to surrender to what he wants. And we celebrate. We celebrate our spirit. Father God, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your movement. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your ability to transform our lives. Though we may not know how the Spirit is moving, we know that you are continually moving us to your will. Give us clarity today. Give us the ability to see how you're moving. Give us the ability to feel the unction of your presence in moments where we can be there for others. As we form the koinonia of this unity, this body of Christ, bring us closer to you so that your fulfillment can take place in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.